Thank you to Pip and the team this morning. Good morning, my name's Clayton. I'm one of the team here at Mosaic, and it's good to be with you this morning. And I'm going to start off with a question and some audience participation. Some of you are already thinking, where are the exits? I only came to church, how can you expect me to talk to people? But we are going to do a little bit of that this morning, only a little bit, and I promise I'll be gentle. All right, so here it is for you. So the big question, who is the wisest person you know? Now, it has to be someone you know, don't immediately go, oh, well, obviously Solomon, you know, in the Bible it says it was. No, no, someone you actually know, someone you've had a conversation, no, you don't tell me. So hang on, just hold that thought for a moment. Then find someone near you and share who that person is. This is the audience participation part, in case you're wondering. All right, you've all had the opportunity to at least think about it, even if you didn't talk to someone. How many of you said that the wisest person you know is the person sitting next to you? All right, okay. So some of you have worked out that, you know, it's a good thing to encourage the person next to you and let them know that they are the wisest person you know. You can relax. I'm not going to ask you to talk to one another anymore until after church, all right? So now that you've thought about who is the wisest person, I want you to ponder, and you don't have to share this, but I want you to think for a moment. What makes a person wise? What gives them the qualities that you would go, yeah, this person is wise? So have a think about that just in your own minds and think, yeah, why would I consider someone to be wise? Are they things that you can quantify? Are they things that you can sort of summarize and go, yeah, this is what makes a wise person? Or is it just the vibe of someone? As I thought about it, I thought, you know, some of the things that help me identify someone who might be wise is they help me see things from a different perspective. So they don't always agree with me, but they might help me look at something from a slightly different perspective. They understand what I'm asking. They actually understand the question that I'm bringing and are prepared to listen to that and respond to that. They have experience in life. So often wisdom is born out of some of the events that have taken place. And their life also shows that they apply the things in their own life. But they don't just tell you what is good advice, they actually apply it to their own lives. You know, you don't go to a financial planner who's always broke, do you? Because, you know, you might, I don't know, Phil, is that a good idea? You know, sorry. But, you know, we want to go to people who we can see evidence in their life that, yes, this is makes sense. It is part of who they are and they apply it. Today, our topic is discovering the sacred through understanding. And over the past month, we've been looking at different ways in which we can engage with God. Part of this is to help us to see two things. One is how big God is, how vast, how wide, how significant God is. Because often we'll have that narrow perspective on who God is. But when we think about God as the creator of the universe, as the one who sustains all creation, we have to expand our mind around that and go, God is so big. And yet often our perspectives on how we engage with God is so narrow. And so part of this conversation is to help us understand the vast, wide, magnificent scope of who God is. The second part is to help us understand the diversity and the gift that we are to one another. That we aren't all the same, that we are different, that we are created different for purpose and meaning, that we might increase our understanding of humanity and of God because we see elements of God in one another. We are each created in the image of God. And so to be able to hold that and recognize that is so important. I grew up in a home that where there were no Christians. I was the first one who came to faith. And no one was modelling to me what a Christian life was meant to look like. I happened to stumble across a church and through that experience came to faith in Christ. And when I came to faith in Christ, I was told how to connect with God. I was told this is how you connect with God. And it was in the 80s that this was happening and 90s. And the quiet time was the way to connect with God. And the quiet time, as it was explained to me, was it was in the morning. It was about half an hour to 40 minutes, and it involved Bible reading and prayer. That was it. That was how you connect with God. That was the full summary of it, of my own personal life, of what it should look like. And I have to say that as a new Christian and this getting this great information on how to connect with God, it didn't work for me. And I felt a little like, so I'm connecting with the creator of the universe and this feels like rubbish. Anyone ever had that experience? Yeah. And because we often can find ourselves in a place where we go, this is what it's meant to look like, but I don't quite fit the mold. And often we can come away, I come away with guilt and being unsatisfied and wondering, is there something wrong with me in this? And so the idea of broadening our perspective around our understanding of who God is and the different ways in which we connect with God can be quite life-giving. And it was a number of years that it took me to discover my rhythm and my pathway to be able to connect in and go, I actually have freedom to explore other ways to connect with God. I don't have to do it this way. Because often people who find their pathway, they're really passionate. And they go, this is how you connect with God. Because it works for them. And for others, when it works for them, they go, yes, this is true, this is good, this is life-giving. And for those who don't get it, they sit there and go, I'll just go with the flow. This is awesome. Because we kind of think this is right. This is, because they're so passionate about it. But we need to recognize that God has given us other opportunities to expand our understanding on how to engage with him and to be able to grow in those ways and truly understand more of who he is. And to find practices that are helpful that will breathe life and freshness into our relationship with Christ. Because we are in a relationship with God. God is relational and he calls us into this. And over the past month, we've looked at the ways in which we discover the sacred, the things of God, that we love God through loving others. We've explored the idea of how some people love God through observing traditions, that they really unlock things for people in the way that they discover the sacred things of God. We've seen that we can connect with God through our senses, through taste and smell and through nature as we explore those things. And last week it was exploring the idea that sometimes it's stripping all those things back and just being in simplicity that some people truly are able to focus on God and connect with him in that way. And it's also true that we might find that we're on a spectrum, that we might have two or three that kind of bring life at different times. It's very rarely that you find someone who is 100% purely in one area. It's like our personalities, we're kind of a blend of a whole lot of things. And often in our own pathways of connecting with God, there'll be some which are stronger and some which aren't. And to be able to explore them and to engage with them helps us increase our perspective on who God is and how we can engage and sit and be present with him. And today we're exploring how we can love God more through understanding. How the sacred exists as we engage with our intellect with the things of who God is. So we're going to be looking at a passage from Proverbs chapter 2. The first 15 verses, if you have your Bibles, feel free to open up. It should be on the screen there. So Proverbs 2 says, "My child, listen to what I say and treasure my commands. Turn your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight. I was going to say insult, don't do that. Cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Search for them as you would for silver. Seek them like hidden treasures. Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain knowledge of God. For the Lord grants wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He grants a treasure of common sense to the honest, is a shield to those who walk with integrity. He guards the paths of the just and protects those who are faithful to him. Then you will understand what is just, right, and fair, and you will find the right way to go. For wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will fill you with joy. Wise choices will watch over you. Understanding will keep you safe. Wisdom will save you from evil people, from those whose words are twisted. These men turn from the right way to walk down dark paths. They take pleasure in doing wrong and they enjoy the twisted ways of evil. Their actions are crooked and their ways are wrong." So Proverbs is full of rich meaning for us in our lives. And if we go to Proverbs 1, we find that Proverbs is written by Solomon. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Now Solomon is known as the one when the Lord asked him. Can you imagine God coming and asking you a question? But the Lord came to Solomon and said, what do you want? open-ended question. Anything, you can have it. What do you want? And so Solomon thought about it, and he asked for wisdom. And the Lord granted him wisdom. Now, we know that as we read through the Bible, that the knowledge that Solomon had was far broader than the things of God. He had great understanding about the world. He had great insight into the things of animals and plants and all sorts of things. And people would travel to see Solomon and come with their questions. And so Solomon had such wisdom, such renown across the world that people would come and gain his insights into things. But he also had insights around who God was. He tells us in chapter 2 that we are to cry out for insight, ask for understanding, that we should search for them like we would silver, because when we discover wisdom, we will know how to fear the Lord. We will know how to live for God. There is so much that we are blessed by through understanding and wisdom. These are gifts that God gives to his people so that we may know more of who he is and what he has for us. Not only that, but people who apply their minds to significant issues, we discover new things in so many areas. We see it in medicine as people continue to press the boundaries and discover new cures, new ways to engage with some of the things that ail us. We see it in engineering as more magnificent things are built around us. We see it in physics. We see it in nature as people start to unlock more and more of what we understand around the world around us. And these are people who take their mind and they apply it to a specific field, and they just focus on it, and they start to tease it out. They start to pull it apart. They start to gain understanding from it. And they love it. It comes to life in ways that they haven't seen before. And so we see breakthroughs and fields and discoveries in significant ways, in all sorts of ways, as people apply their minds to this. Now, not everyone is wired to sit and wrestle with these challenges that we see in our world. Some of you are very grateful that there are other people who are happy to take that burden. That yes, that they love it, that they can sit wherever they sit, and that they can think, and that they can do this, and that they can discover things. Some of us are just grateful that there are others who do that. And when we come to God as well, some of us just love to hear the words that God loves us, that God is full of grace and compassion and acceptance, that he is there for us, that he is almighty. And we hear that and we go, amen, I believe that and I receive that. And there are others who hear that and go, why? And they want to know more. They want to explore the scriptures more. They want to start to pull it apart. They want to start to gain deeper understanding. And then they share that understanding that we might know more collectively together. They want to know what's behind it. Why is this there? How does what God says about himself and what he does in this part of scripture, why is that there? And how does that connect with this other part over here? And where are the bits in between? And they take the time to sit with it and understand it and put it together and pull it apart and pull it together, and they tease it out along that way. I want to show you a clip this morning. Some of you might be familiar with this person, but we'll run with this clip this morning anyway. Thanks.
My name's James. I'm the pastor for 1030 Congregation, and I would class myself as an intellectual when we consider the pathways. And I say that because I have always been fascinated with the concept, the idea of God, formulating as big a picture I can of God, and really delving deep and connecting with God. I think I first saw this when I connected with the scriptures and God's word. And for me, that's where I couldn't get enough of God. That's what I would go to. That's where I saw God. I found life there and had a real passion for it and desire for it. And along the journey, there have been so many times where it's really spoken to me. So I remember the first time that I asked the question about the problem of pain and suffering and how you think about that, how you think through that. Can God be all-powerful and all-loving and yet allow evil to occur at the same time? How does that happen? And really putting your brain to work on that and coming up with thoughts and ideas that help you to consider what you see and what you know of God, and bringing those together in a holistic way, in a complementary way. That's what I love doing, finding connection. There was a moment at Bible College where, for the very first time, the entire story of the Bible clicked. I think before that, I thought it was just a broad collection of various stories, bits from here and bits and there. But to see that God is weaving a story from Genesis right through to Revelation, and being able to be conscious of that story, where the judges fit, where the prophets fit, why Jesus' blood is so important in the New Testament, the structure of the church, how it relates to the Old Testament covenants and the people of God, just linking all that together, life-changing. So if you're exploring the intellectual pathway, curiosity is the number one thing I think you need, being able to sit with ideas and not let go of them, but to actually hold on to them, to wrestle them, to want to seek a conclusion and some kind of answer. So it's all good and well to sit in the paradox and sit in the grain in the middle and not have answers at times, but seeing things through. So recognizing and knowing that if God is true, if God is reality, then we shouldn't be afraid of exploring any idea or anything. So being curious, looking for connections between things, and never being afraid of keep digging. Some of the greatest breakthroughs I've had are when the world will present an argument against God, or something that would steer you away from God. But as you look at it deeper and delve deeper, being able to reconcile that, and not just to get around it, but to see that there's life and truth there, and God actually meets those needs in a way that's far more significant than anything else, is amazing. Never underestimate your brain. People will often say, oh, I can't do that, or that hurts the brain. Never underestimate your brain. You are created fearfully and wonderfully, and God has put such capacity into you to think about these things and process these things, and God actually meets us at an intellectual level. There's so much truth he gives us to wrestle with, so dig deep.
So James shares with us, he encourages us to be able to explore more of who God is, that we shouldn't be afraid to hurt our mind. Thanks for that encouragement, James. Next time I've got a headache, I know who to blame. So. But thank you for sharing your pathway with us and the way that works for you, and to encourage us to explore that. And we often view the world in an either-or mindset. I think that's one of the challenges we have. We kind of have a black and white kind of scenario where it's either this or it's that. And this creates an environment where we create exclusion. Because if we choose one, then we are excluding the other. And there are times when we need to do that in our lives. But there are other times when we need to recognize that we hold that paradox. We hold that tension around us. The idea that we can pursue God with our minds or our intellect, for some, is kind of like, well, why would you bother when we already know that God loves us? But at the same time, there are other options around us where we need to recognize that there are people who need to wrestle with the things of the kingdom of God, that we might gain understanding, that we might be able to live out our faith in more significant ways. See, I love it when I'm reading through a book or doing some study on a particular area, and I come across a sentence or a paragraph where someone has obviously taken the time to work through some of the big challenges that have been bouncing around in me a little bit. And then you just read it in a way where you get a sense of it. They really distilled that down in such a clear way that it kind of puts words to some of the stuff that's in our own lives. Oh, that makes so much sense. And it's great to be able to have people around us. And I'm often grateful for those who have taken the time to do the wrestling and work it through, that then can help me take the next step, which is before me. As we come to this idea of discovering the sacred through our understanding, through our intellect, we need to see the value in the teaching others in this as well. That we can bring others along to help them grow more and more in how we see God and how we understand God and how we experience God. And for some of you, this just makes sense. The idea of being able to engage with God intellectually, it's just like, of course, this is what we do. You come along to church and there are people and they're okay and there's music and that's all right and there's, you know, there's prayer and that's nice. But when the Bible is opened, when there is a great sermon that is dug deep into the scriptures and pulled apart, you go, that's what I'm here for. And in your own personal life, that's what you long for, to be able to go to those extra levels and open it up, because you're wired that way. And you explore the content in ways that are like that. And to be honest, if you're strongly wired that way, if you just love the idea of Bible passages being opened and teased apart and giving you more and more depth in it, then this current sermon series has been a bit weak in your eyes. You know, we've just been talking about ways to connect with God. We haven't really been wrestling with the Bible. But we need to recognize there's a place for both. There's a time and a place where we need to really wrestle with the scriptures and gain our understanding. But there's also a time for understanding how we are wired individually and how we connect with God and can grow in him. And that we might have an appreciation that not everyone sees the world the same way that we do. And that we can journey with one another, and that, you know, you add value to me and I add value to you, as we bring our own gifts and understanding of who God is, that we can listen to one another and that we can walk together in the things that God calls us to. It was in the 90s when I first started studying for ministry, and I remember the lecturer I had for theology. He was a very intellectual man, there's no doubt about it. And I was just a lad from rural New Zealand who had come to Australia to study for ministry. And in all honesty, we could not have been more further apart in who we were as people. He was old and wise and smart, and I wasn't. Okay, and so I remember sitting there, and he was the chaplain of the university, one of the local universities, and you know, and where I grew up, when someone said they wanted to go to university, the question was like, why? Why would you do that? You know, you can leave school, you can get a good job, you can get a reasonable income, work hard. Why would you go to university? And so we were kind of worlds apart. And this guy would turn up to the lectures, our evening lectures, and he would turn up in his robes. And where I came from, men didn't normally wear robes. He's kind of like, oh, okay. And he would bring his Greek New Testament, and he would read from his Greek New Testament as he taught us theology and translate on the spot. To be honest, I didn't understand a lot of what he said. But there's no doubt that he was a very intellectual, a very smart man who was able to engage with others at that level. But I think one of the challenges for those who are wired with that really strong sense of the intellect is to make sure that you don't leave everyone else behind. To make sure that the things that you wrestle with, the things that you're exploring, the truths that you're understanding, that you're sharing those and sharing the journey as you go. Because God has given you as a gift to the church, to help us all in that journey. To help us all to be able to go, this is a new thing that we've learned about the kingdom of God. You've helped us see it differently. You've opened it up like we haven't seen it before. And to be able to make sure that it doesn't get lost in translation. And I'm sure that for this particular lecturer, I was probably the person in his class who's like, why do you not get this? It's simple. For me, it wasn't simple. It was quite complex, the things he was trying to explain at the time. There were things that I'd never heard of before. Very simple things. He referred to the cannon. I was thinking of a big gun, right? How many of you know that this is a cannon? Took me 2 weeks. I was 2 weeks behind as he's talking about the cannon. I'm going, why is he talking about a big gun? Who made these guns? Why is it so important? And then finally, he's talking about the Bible. I should read that. And so sometimes we can get a bit far ahead. And so being able to bring our gifts of who we are wired and how we're wired is so important. Because we're a gift to one another. And we need to recognize that our pathways are a gift to one another, a gift to the church. I love the fact that on our pastoral team that we have people like James who really wrestle with that and brings those to our team meetings. There are others who are more into the simplicity of just being in the presence of God. There are others who are activists, those who connect through nature. And that holistically as a team, when we think about our church, we're not all just pigeonholed into one little spot, but we can challenge one another to recognize that we're leading a diverse group of people, and how do we help one another grow in who they are to be in Christ? Our theme for the year has been deeper. And the heart behind this theme is that we have wanted to encourage each of you to choose to go deeper with God, that you would have roots that go deep into God's love, mercy, compassion, and grace, that your faith would be strengthened, that as you seek to draw more of God's resources than you would of your own resources. And this also applies to our understanding, to our intellect, and the things that we think about God. The qualities we have experienced of God, and that they would increase our understanding of who he is, and that they would deepen our trust in him. As we explore this, I want to remind you that God has already moved towards us in Christ. He has already chosen us to be part of the family, to be incorporated into the body, that we might know him, and that we would be known by him. And the question is always, are we willing to respond to him? Are we willing to be like the early disciples, that when Jesus came up and he simply asked them the question, come follow me, that we would be people who act in obedience, that when we hear the Master's voice, when we hear the voice of Christ saying, come follow me, that we would act in obedience, that we would recognize that as we hear his voice, that as we understand that we're connected with him, that our faith would be so deep that the answer would always be, yes. I trust you and I follow you. I trust you and I love you. I trust you and I believe that where you lead is for the benefit of your kingdom and your glory above all else. And part of the heart behind this series of Discovering the Sacred is that we recognize that for that to happen, you need a good connection with God. You need the freedom to go, I hear God's voice, I know his voice and I trust his voice. And he speaks to me and he calls me. And I'll willingly follow where he goes because he has given his all. And so as followers of Jesus here this morning, my simple question is, are we willing to follow? Are we willing to be obedient to the things that he asks of us as individuals and as a body? Would we say yes to Jesus? Would we say yes to Jesus when we know that he talks to us about baptism? Would we say yes to Jesus when we know that he's asking us to show an act of kindness to our neighbor? Would we say yes to Jesus when he's asking us to lay aside that great dream that we have for the greater dream he has for us? Are we willing to say yes to a God who has given his all for us? Let's pray. Lord, we recognize that you are present with us, that your desire is to draw near, and that we would draw near to you. And Father, my prayer this morning is that as we come, as we listen to your Spirit, that we would respond in faith, that we would be willing to say yes to the things that you call us to. And Lord, as we've, over this past month, we've talked about ways of discovering the sacred, discovering ways in which work for us to connect with you, that we would be able to honor one another, that we would be willing to recognize the gifts that we are to one another, that when people who have wrestled with the scriptures and bring something they've discovered to us, that we would partner in that and go, thank you for that. And when there are others who call us to pause and be still, that we would seek that wisdom and go, yes, it is good to be still. And that we might know your voice in the stillness. And Lord, that there are others who will call us to respond to the injustice we see around us, because that is part of your heartbeat as well. Help us to see the gift we are to one another, to celebrate our diversity, and recognize that as we come under one roof in one place, we honor and glorify God, who is far broader, far greater, far more magnificent than we can imagine. And so, Lord, my prayer and my hope is that you would open our eyes, that we might get a glimpse of more of who you are.